You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live today on the Alex Jones Network. Remember, you can always find us at alexjoneslive.com, on Rumble as well at rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive. That's where you find us there. And I've heard that we're gonna have our own dedicated Rumble channel very soon, so stay tuned for that. I think we've earned it. I think we deserve it. A Rumble channel of our own. But really, there's like a million Rumble channels because some people upload our stuff just on their own volition. There's lots of outlets. I don't even want to say some of them because we like that they operate with or without our permission. It's all free to air after all. But we need a home base. We need one place to send everybody to, especially since, you know, we're planning on, I at least am spearheading this. Whether the crew is aware or not, I'm not sure. But I want to start including the Rumble chat more into the show, whether it'll be with super chats or the crew highlighting comments and questions that they can put up on screen for me to answer. I think that would be very fun and very helpful. So we got a lot of news today. Big show for you here on the 12th of May, 2026. And we're going to start with the latest breaking news from Donald Trump. He, of course, is on his way to China. Big delegation of big tech leaders coming along with him, which is interesting because obviously this is who the real government is. It's very interesting how he's going to China and he's bringing along Elon Musk and Alex Karp and all of these big tech leaders and not a lot of politicians coming along with him. And I think it's, whether we like it or not, what is happening right in front of our eyes is the global government corporatocracy is being established right in front of us. And not only do they already have the pseudo political authority to be making deals overseas or, you know, acting as if they're sovereign entities, we're going to see that codified and solidified and their position actually made real and concrete over time. The Board of Peace has to do with this. The fact that we're moving away from the UN has to do with this. So if you want to understand the global government, imagine instead of the UN with Russia, America, China, Israel, or, you know, Iran, Ireland, like instead of countries, imagine Amazon and Microsoft and OpenAI. And there'll be multinational corporations that essentially have sovereignty. And there are already corporations like this, like the IMF basically is not under control of any single government. It is a government unto itself. It has the, you know, police forces and extradition treaties. I mean, there's already through Bretton Woods and the construct of the world order post-World War II, there's already a precedent for this. But I think we're going to see a lot more of this happening, kind of like when I was talking about yesterday, the prime minister of Japan. She'll come to America and she'll do the state dinner and she'll meet with the president of the United States and then she'll meet with the real leaders. Then she'll go to dinner with Alex Karp and Peter Thiel and whoever else represents the real power behind the throne, the real authority and the real seat where sovereignty lies. So, and of course, on top of this, you've got the data centers, which are being built by these organizations, these corporations, Oracle, Palantir, these big pseudo-free, pseudo-governmental entities that are building out the control grid for our enslavement. So they're doing that, again, sort of in flagrant disregard to the will of the people or the laws of the United States, because they are, in fact, setting themselves up as the ultimate authority and the true sovereigns of our world. And so the fact that Trump is bringing along a bunch of these people on his trip to China, not exactly surprising, but they're certainly not out for our interest. They have their own interest, and they're simply using America as a vehicle to enrich or benefit themselves. Now, Donald Trump was on his way to the helicopter to go to China for this big state trip. And he, of course, as he's wont to do, stopped by the press gaggle and answered some questions. And has made probably one of the biggest faux pas of his entire political career. If you've been online, you've seen this spread everywhere because the instant that he made this comment, it went absolutely viral. We'll go to it now. Clip 28. Trump, when asked about the Iran war and the negative economic effects of the Iran war, responds saying, "I don't think about American financial situations." The audio is a little rough, but here's Donald Trump about an hour ago.
Even a little bit. The only thing that matters when I'm talking about Iran, they can't have a nuclear weapon. I don't think about American financial situation. I don't think about anybody. I think about one thing. We cannot let Iran have a nuclear weapon. That's all. That's the only thing.
So what the hell was that? So what is that about? What type of response is that for the American president to say? Because I'm sort of two minds. On one hand, let's put the best spin on this that we can. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Let's steel man Donald Trump right here. Because I can understand that in his mind, probably what he was thinking, the argument he was making, was saying, this is so important. It's a life or death existential crisis. I didn't think about anything else because what could be more important than that? And I could understand that. Right. It's like, all right, if your, you know, daughter's about to be hit by a car and you rush over to scoop her up, people are like, did you think about the, you know, economic consequence of that? You're like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I had a life to save. I'm going to save the life and deal with the consequences in the future. OK, so that's the steel man, right? The steel man is Donald Trump is saying, look, this is an existential crisis. It's life or death. Hey, the economy is important, but when you're talking about 100 million people dying in a nuclear flash, sorry, the money's not going to stop me from doing what's necessary. I'm willing to put it all on the table to do what's right. So that's what he was trying to say. I think that's what he was trying to get across. There's a couple problems with that. The main one being that the threat is non-existent. So there's that, right? Yeah, of course, Drudge Report has this red text, because here's the thing. This is, if nothing else, a sign of Trump sort of slipping, maybe not mentally slipping like we saw for Joe Biden, but losing his touch might be another way to put it. Because there's a way to answer this and to get across exactly the same message, but do it in a smarter and more acceptable way. Obviously, on Drudge Report, they have the quote, "I don't think about American financial situations at all. I don't." What? So in a midterm where the economy is like the number one issue for Americans across the board, you don't care. So you recognize that it's bad, but you don't care. Obviously, the better way to say this would say, of course I care about Americans' financial difficulties, but we're talking about a life and death situation. And at the end of the day, I want them to be alive. I want Americans to be able to live and spend their money. So that was my priority. There was a way to say this that would have been more tactful, that would have been more understandable, that would have been better and still would have gotten the message across. But what he's trying to do is emphasize that Iran was and is an existential threat, and they're going to make a bomb, and anybody talking about anything else is just distracting you from the life or death situation that Trump is heroically saving us from. The problem is that's not true at all, according to everybody except for Trump and Mossad. Trump and Mossad, that is, Mossad told Trump that Iran was trying to get a nuclear weapon and that it would be an existential crisis if they did. Nobody else believes that. Nobody else. We had the story yesterday. Basically, every intelligence community in America has come out saying they're not going for a bomb. They weren't going for a bomb. They were actually obeying to the JCPOA or the newer agreement that they tried to get Trump to sign. They would have probably comported themselves in line with the strictures of that agreement. They aren't and weren't going for a nuclear weapon, had no capability to do so at the time. They could have started up at some point, but why would they do that? Now, so on the face of it, right, he is saying it's worth it to make this sacrifice of the American economy because there's this existential threat. But that existential threat doesn't actually exist. In whatever form it did exist as a potentiality, it has only been made more of a threat following this war. So It's like layers of this, right? It's like layers of absurdity, layers of failure for Trump's rhetoric in this case. Clearly, the message I received, and I think most Americans received, was, I don't care about your economic well-being. That is essentially what he said, which is troubling because gas is creeping up to $5 a gallon these days, and the economy was kind of your main thing. And if anything, would be the thing that would, you know, that Trump could succeed in. I mean, you know, you got questions about getting deportations done or whatever else. The economy was something that Trump focused on and seemed to understand and cared a lot about. So why doesn't he care anymore? This just got announced. Trump's Golden Dome for America missile defense system estimated to cost $1.2 trillion over a 20-year period. Well, we can get into what's involved in that, but you know who's running that, right? You know who's running the Golden Dome digital dome system, right? It's Tom Alexandrovich, the pedophile that was arrested in Las Vegas and then allowed to flee to Israel. He's the one that's coordinating with all of the other countries who are all outsourcing their cybersecurity to the state of Israel, which is insane, which is an insane thing to do. They're going to blow your phone up when it's next to your head. And this is really very, very troubling. And again, it's like, how do we get across the concept that the sky is blue? This is the trouble I have. I'm sitting here going, what do I need to do to explain to the American people that the sky is blue and things fall down when you drop them? Like, because what I'm saying is, how do I explain? How do we get